In the edition you have, we're in the middle of page Chavches. Last time the Rambam began to paint the picture, what was it like in Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva? What did we see? From the very first line, the Rambam, the very first line of Hagdama, makes the same point it makes in the very first line many years later in Hagdama to Peret, to Mishnah Torah, which is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shechzav and Torah Shalpeh, each mitzvah with its perish. And the Rambam spoke about how everyone had a chance to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, and there were many rounds of chazara built in, and that there was most people were learning ready from multiple Rabbeim, from Moshe, from Aaron, from Elazar and Yisamar, from the Shivim. There came already a sense of Masorah even in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, that peace was already in flame, and there was more chazara afterwards. And he spoke a bit about this, the Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh. Right? And he said, look, every HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it mitzvah, mitzvah, that was like the units. Again, we mentioned the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah, it's very clear that he sees the Tariq mitzvahs as like the core units of Torah. And that's already in play during the original 40 years in the Midbar. The Baruch Shalom is teaching, Moshe mitzvah by mitzvah. At the top of page Chav Ches, Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu mitzvah by mitzvah, and he says, for instance, when we saw last time, the mitzvah of Sukkah, so he teaches him the Chumash, the Sukkah's Teshu Shiv, Yisamim, the Torah Shibachzav, and then he gives him the Perush. The Perush, which was a number of the basic dinim, to make it, as Rav Shailat puts it, enough to make the mitzvah operational, implementable. The Sukkah's Teshu Shiv, Yisamim, what do you do with that? There had to have been a core of Torah Shalpeh transmitted with each mitzvah. And now we pick up with the story in the middle of page Chavches. We're ready to transition to the next stage. The next stage in the intellectual history of Kol Yisrael. The end of the year 40, the Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Where did the Rambam get that date from? That we know something special, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Huh? In the earliest source you can.
No.
Huh? No. Perhaps. No, but for Moshe Rabbeinu. That particular Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Good. That particular Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the end of Moshe's life. This is a month and a week before he dies. He's going to pass away in Zion. How do we know this day is significant? It's a very, very notable pasuk. That's right. Exactly. This is the opening. Very good. I think this is the opening byline of Sefer Dvar. Sometimes when we learn Chumash, the dates and places get sort of lost in the shuffle. We focus on content. This is the opening byline of Chumash Dvar. The Ashter Sachodesh, the first of the Chodesh. Hekilam Al Hashalom. So what's the significance? The macro significance of what's happening in Chumash Dvar? He says, you know what happens? You know what happens there? Amar la'emine korv yamosi. The call applies to all together for one final. Let's see, is it a chazarish here? Karav zman mosi. He says to call Israel, my days are numbered. I'm going to pass away soon. We'll be honest. L'chein mishashon v'ni shemua u'shechecha yavo v'yish'al v'avarer alon. If you heard something from me and now it's gotten fuzzy, you don't remember it, you remember it. Sort of. Come, ask. Mishashtap v'lo she'el, you have some new question that you never heard anything from you before? Ask. Ask me. That's interesting, because when we learn Chumash Dvarim, in the middle of Pesach Chavches, we learn Chumash Dvarim, we usually think Chumash Dvarim is all the Drasha and Moshe Rabbeinu gave. But Rambam points out, he also gave a Drasha. Chumash Dvarim is almost all Chumash Dvarim, is a speech that Moshe Rabbeinu gives, his farewell speech. It has a lot of halakha and a lot of hashkafa and a lot of history. But that starts to help to come in. But there was also a conversation that was going on. Amar Kosim, Ho'il Moshe Be'eretz HaTorah Zos Le'mor. Moshe worked hard on explaining the Torah. The Kaf Amar HaKam B'Sifrei. The Medrash HaLacha Sifrei is the Medrash HaLacha and Ba'amit B'Dvar. Kol Sheshachach HaLacha Achas Yavo V'Yishneh. Kol Sheshu L'Faresh Yavo V'Yifaresh. That's exactly what I just said. If you forgot something, come, let's talk about it. If you just don't know Merosh, what you didn't, let's talk about it. The Ibsumi Piva Shmos, So they were verifying things with him, and beloved Rabbi Yerusha, learning more interpretation, the Torah Shabbat, over the course of that month and a week, from Rosh Chodesh Shvat till the 7th of Adar, it wasn't just, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu delivering the Chumash Dvarim speech, that thing that happened, I don't know, that was like the morning shiur, and then the next, one parak a day, something like that, and then the rest of the day, was the people who were coming with open Q&A with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. Speaking of questions.
Just, like, typical question. When you say, come and ask me, does he mean, like, come and ask the judges who are underneath me that were installed by Yitro, and then, like, if they don't know, like...
Oh, yeah, it's a good question. I don't think so. This sounds like this is coming at me. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is a unique person in the history of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Ayinami number 6, is a belief in the Vua. Ayinami number 7 is belief in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we know, I'm told off just to drop, and we're going to see very soon where he's headed with that, because that's why this moment is right before, we're on the cusp of an incredibly significant transition. He says, Kashahaya lefnei Mosau, when it was right before his death, Nigash lechsiva, he then moved into writing mode, V'chasav shalusha asar sifrei sefer Torah gevilim, kulam. He wrote, that's the way the Medrash presents it, 13 entire Sifrei Torah.
Wow.
He bays Bereshis and Lami Yisrael. From the first bays to the last Lami. From the first letter to the last. Help yourself, please. Yes. On page 12, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, Ram here is taking, as he often does in his works, he just took a stand on two or three different machlokes. Number one, this one issue that he raised spoke about before. There you go. Yes. Yeah. One issue that he already spoke about before was how was the Torah Shabbat written down? The Gemara and the Machlok is about that. Whether Torah Megillah Nitna or Chasuma Nitna? Was Moshe Rabbeinu writing down the Torah over the course of the 40 years and then by the end it was complete? Or no? So Rambam here says every Jew kept his own, that's what we saw last time, every Jew kept his own Megillah. Every Jew kept his own personal notes of what Moshe was teaching him, particularly the Torah Shabbat. But the official right of Torah Shabbat Sava only comes at the end. Right. And number two, he's taking a stand on the question of the Shmona Pesukim Shabbat Torah. Those last Gemara and Machlokas, the last eight Pesukim and Chumash, were those transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu before they were actually factually true. The last eight Pesukim talk about the death and the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. That kind of wrong burying him. So clearly Moshe didn't write that after it happened. So either Moshe wrote it down, I can't go turn it to Moshe before it happened, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Yehoshua. The Rambam takes his opinion here, as he is elsewhere, that the Derech HaMelech is assumed Moshe wrote everything. And the third point is that in addition to everything is written at the end, and that even last eight Pesukim were transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu, third point is that there wasn't just one Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, but 13. As it's not clear in the Pesukim, but that's the approach of the early Midrashim. He gives each 13, one for each shevet, and then the 13, la'leviim, v'amar lehem l'kavach ha'sefer Torah zos. And then achar kach Allah lahar b'chatzos yom shiva ba'adah. There's a lot of precision here. I'm really like focusing. Midday, zayin adar, midday, Moshe walks up, midday, visual. Moshe walks up, lehem. That's the way Chazal, our tradition, works it out with precision in the middle of the day. Here's an interesting line. He said it was his death. From our perspective, he died. He said, from our perspective, he died because we no longer have Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we're missing Moshe Rabbeinu. From Moshe's perspective, it was a lot. It was light. He does not mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive, Moshe Rabbeinu never died, and Moshe Rabbeinu has no yartzeit. It does not mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is shlita. It's definitely Moshe Rabbeinu zatzal. But chayin d'shvilo, masha'Allah, love. In other words, but what the Rambam is presumably making reference to, the chazal of Allah in the Gemara, that tzadikim afil b'chayin p'rim esim, and, b'shoim afil b'chayin p'rim esim, and tzadikim afil b'misasim p'rim chayin. The Rashi, when he's alive, he's not deeply living. And the tzaddik, even after death, He's called alive even after death. It does not mean that tzaddikim don't die. Tzaddikim could, it's clear in the Chumash that tzaddikim die, it's clear, empirical observation, tzaddikim die. What it means is they die physically, but their life, the life from the Shama continues. That we do absolutely believe in that. The Mises Aguf and Hash'aras HaNefesh. The more a person feeds his neshama over the course of his lifetime, and you have the chance, Alam HaZeh is where you have the chance to feed your neshama. So the more a person feeds his neshama, the more robust neshama you'll have that will carry on La'afar Moshe. That's what I'm saying. Moshe Rabbeinu, most certainly. B'kaf Amar Aleim HaShalom, where is this a quote from? It says at the bottom, Gemara in Sota, it's in Frank. Moshe Rabbeinu Lameis, and La'alam Meshamesh B'mar. It wasn't the end of his life, it was the end of his physical life. But he moved on to a job in Shammai. Isn't
that true of all of us?
Yeah, it depends on how much, the more you feed your neshama, the truer it's going to be. That's what came across a great story of Shabbos. Yom Meir Bloch was, I think, the founding Rosh Hashiva of Tel Aviv in Cleveland. And he traveled, he was, they talk about Samar Yom Atzmaut. He was a prominent speaker at a very early Yom HaTzmaut celebration in Cleveland. I think it was co-sponsored by Tels, not sure. Let's see if we can dig up the data. Lazmei Bloch, Jay Goldman tells the story. Lazmei Bloch went around the travel the country collecting fundraising for his yeshiva. And comes to a fellow. And the fellow writes him a check and says, Rabbi, I have one question. Sure. The question. Rabbi, I understand. I have it all. I have the yacht, I have the house here, I have the vacations over there, I have the place in Cancun, and I have the Maserati and the Bentley, and like I have the artwork. I got it all. And I'm not really happy. I said, you're like travel the country with your hand up, stuck out for donations. You really seem like a lot happier than I am. What am I missing here? He says, it's really quite simple. I don't think it's really quite simple. He said, you and I are both Jews. You and I both have a body and a soul. And you and I both have a body that needs nourishing, and a soul that needs nourishing. And we probably both nourish our bodies. And I try to nourish my soul by learning some Torah, and by living overall, not just Torah, living life mitzvahs. Torah being one of those Torah mitzvahs. He said, with all due respect, it seems to me like you're trying to satiate your soul's nutritional needs with stuff. You feel the need for something. Someone told me recently that that Moshe Weinberger said at the hair, why is it that some of the Jews run out for pizza the moment they come down, you're at the door to the pizza store? What's the shot? He said, it must be. I didn't hear him say it. It must have been with a baditcher, a twinkle in his eye. I said, you make Havdalah, the Neshama Yisera leaves. So you're missing something. Everyone feels like they're missing something. So Baruch Hashem, you run into the pizza store, it means you feel like you're missing something. This question is, how are you going to fill the void that was just created? So if you don't dare what the void needs, so you just, you got to do something. You got to add something. If you have insight, you understand that the pizza is certainly a mitzvah of Lav Malka, but maybe other ways you want to fill that that space also. And so Lazmei Bloch, coming back a couple of decades, he said, you're trying to feed your neshama with stuff, with yachts, with cars, with houses, but that's not the nutrition of neshama needs. Neshama needs other type of nutrition. And I think he said, I don't know if he said it to this fellow, that's pshat in the pach, fear and rashu v'ra evu v'dar shen Hashem le'ach sur kotov. But the young lions, Rosh are very able. They're very hungry. They're starving. The Darshan Hashem asks for kotel. The people who seek for Boshlam don't lack. What does that mean? The kafir, the young lion, think about that, the young, powerful entrepreneur who's incredibly, maybe financially very successful. Some people work for a startup and they take care of the spiritual needs also. But sometimes the person is a kafir, the person is very engaged in wealth, it could be a nisayon, but he's also going to feed his neshama or not. If you seek to for the wealth to substitute for spiritual sustenance, then Rosh Hashanah, you continue to be hungry. That's Moshe Rabbeinu definitely did one of the supreme jobs of feeding his neshama. So he, his neshama was very, very healthy. Says there's plenty to talk about this. I already told you two stories. Rambam says that he has plenty to say, not just meisim. But let's move on. Let's move on to what happens next. And now Moshe is dead. Moshe is dead. Roshan buries him. Roshan, as an aside, the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is as the Rambam's focus here. What's the extreme significance for us in the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu? Chumash says that no one knows that Moshe is buried. We have the issues for ourselves. What's the positive significance for us? Right? This is one instance we see Rosh Hashanah taking care of someone in a way that he gains nothing from it. The Rosh Hashanah gains nothing personally, obviously. And one place where it's particularly it's not even something that you know is, I'll do it for you, you'll do it for me. It's just it's purely altruistic caring for others, and that's as Elazar pointed out. That's one of the makaros and one of the ways to grow close to Moshe is to be like him. Another thing, be like him has to be like the sublime, transcendental, ethereal, like inner space, floating. You know, love it. Be like Kadosh Baruch Hu means taking care of someone else. All the examples of Chazal, Rambam expands it. All of Chazal's examples of a person copying a Kadosh Baruch Hu are being kind and compassionate and caring about other people and like doing like things. Like someone's sick, and he's down, he needs a visit. And Moshe Rabbeinu's body is lying there, because Baruch Hu buries it. Practically taking care of other people. Taking care of other people and being sensitive to other people's needs. That is one of the surest ways to emulate Moshe. Yeah.
All right.
Kasha Mace, all of us shalom. But now we come back to the question of the history of Torah. Kasha Mace, all of us shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, but don't worry. He's dead, and as I said, it's our loss, but it's not that we're totally cut off. Hukar Mosul Yoshua at the bottom of Pitch Chafet, Vashanit Lomen HaKadosh. He had already transmitted to you, that he just told us, they wrote down the purpose of the Torah. The Torah Shebech Sav obviously was transmitted before his death. But don't worry, in addition to all the teaching which they did for 40 years, in addition to that last month and a week of open Q&A and intensive Chazara, he is particularly a Masira to Yehoshua. Masa Yehoshua, Mashanita Lo Apeirish. Everyone got a Masara of Tarash HaPeh from Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yehoshua, well, here we see the idea of Bali Masara. Why is Yehoshua special? Apparently Yehoshua was special. Everyone learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehoshua had a special role. You know that the Rambam has, at the beginning of the Akedah, I'm sure you've seen this, at the end of the Akedah to Mishnah Torah, you may have seen charts of this. Rambam has 40 links in the chain. From Moshe to the end of the Amoran. And Moshe to Yeshua, and Yeshua to this one, all the way down through the period of Nevi'im, and Yeshaya teaches this one, Hosea learns from this one, teaches that one. I'm sorry?
Where is this again?
It's in the Rambam's introduction, the very, very beginning of the Rambam. Very beginning of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah.
Mishnah Torah or the Mishnah itself?
No, Mishnah Torah. This is the Akedamah to Perish Mishnah, where we're learning right now.
Yeah.
This is the rural volume. In the beginning, before Sefer, at the beginning of Sefer Hamada, before he starts with Hilchos Yisodei, Torah Hilchos Yisodei, and so on and so forth, I'm glad to bring him tomorrow, he has 40 links to the chain. As you open, it's actually numbered in the text. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, all the way to them. All the way through the Bais Rishon period, the Bais Sheni period, through the Zugos, we read yesterday, in the first parak of Amos, right? Shemun HaTzadik, and Tevish Yisocho, Yossi Ben Yerezer, and so on and so forth, the whole first parak of Perkiagos traces that Masora all the way to the more familiar later Tanan, Rabbi Akiva, and so on and so forth, the way to Rabbi Yehudanasi, the Amoraim, to Ravina Ravashi, as link number 40. And so there's a straight line. But Moshe learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Ravina Ravashi, who closed up the Gemara. So there's a notion, and Rambam points out, it's not like there was one Talmud Chacham per generation. They said there were thousands, tens of thousands. But there were thousands of significant Chachamim, and this is like a very broad bandwidth, but there were one or two people who stood out head and shoulders above the rest. And that was Yehoshua, who was the Baal HaMasora, the second Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua. But now, things are different. This is the biggest, as mentioned last time, this is the biggest, there will be changes throughout history, transitions from stage to stage. The biggest stage, the biggest transition is right now. Why? His bonengo, Yoshua van Shedoro, Yoshua and his contemporaries begin to think, his bonengo, about what they got from Moshe. And now he explains what he means. Very, very important. If Yoshua or any of the other Zakena was, what was the verb we just used? Kibel. You have a Masor, you have a Kabbal from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein bo din dvarim. There's nothing to discuss. Nothing about machlokas. There can't be machlokas. If I say, I don't know what the din is, and Josh says, what do you mean? Moshe told me X, Y, Z. Or I say, I think the din is X. And Razel says, I heard from Moshe. Why? There's nothing that's the end of the conversation. You have a Masor from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nothing to discuss. But let's say we're discussing some case we never heard Moshe talk about. Remember, Rabbi points out, Moshe didn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach Moshe every last detail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe Torah Shemusav, and the basic explanation of the Torah Shemusav. And people like chance ask questions, but there are always more, as we know. Q&A is always, there are always more questions. And that was even true with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe had passed away. We have no new questions. Then, minha anafim, things which are branches. In other words, the basic, the core ideas of every mitzvah Moshe had already taught. But the branches, there are always more details. Moshe had not been taught and not taught Kali Yisrael. Hotzi hadin bo behekish. So then, if we have a new question that we don't know having Masor from Moshe on, now we have to use hekish, meaning Rami uses it broadly to mean logical inference. The 13 rules that Moshe had gotten at Har Sinai in terms of how to interpret and discover dinim in the Chumash. And he says, so he says that this is the most fundamental distinction. There are dinim that we have the Kabbalah, that we have Masorah on, and then there are dinim that we're being Mechadish. And there is room for Chiddush, even the generation of Yehoshua. And here comes the next important concept. Of the things that we were not, that we didn't just know, the things that we didn't just know, but we had to figure out, we had to direct the mind, the chumash, to those dinim. So at the top of page chavtes, of those dinim which they were motzi, which they derived from the chumash, some of them everyone agreed to. There's no machlokes. You all agreed. Yeah, that seems like the most reasonable way to apply Yudgel Midos to the Chumash. That sounds like we all agree that that's the solution. But sometimes we don't have a Masorah, so we're going to go to Drasha, and we all look at the Chumash, the same Chumash, the same background to Hashavah, the same set of tools, and yet machlok has been Shkei Svaros. The machlokes in two different ways looking at it. I have one way of looking at you, a different way of looking. We each have a way of looking at it, and we each are convinced we're right. Once you're talking about logical inference, this can happen. And I think I mentioned Thursday night, the continuing hypothesis. The hypothesis was formulated a couple centuries after the Rabbi wrote this. But he says, look, when you're dealing with a logical system, we're dealing with derivation. So good men can come to different conclusions. They follow, what do they do practically? So let's unpack for a drop what Rabbim just told us. He told us something very, very important, and this is probably the first major chiddush of the Rabbim in the Hakdama of the Mishnah. He's presented everything very calmly here. But he's really, I'm not sure he's breaking ground, but certainly taking on many of the gonim. The question he already raised, which he's going to come back to later, as you see, we're at the end of section L. He's about to take a digression, talk about Nevuah, and then we'll figure out why it's going to happen. We'll start the Nevuah discussion next time. We'll talk about why Nevuah is relevant here. You'll see in a moment. He's after his Nevuah digression, which is very important. He's going to come back to develop the idea some more of machlokas and tarshal peh. But he already has given us the kernel of some critical ideas. where does machlokas come from and where does machlokas not come from? What's up for machlokas? That's a great question. Or a lot of times people ask, what exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? The Rambam is going to unpack that some more after his Nebuah digression. But he already told us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu all the Torah Shebichtav, meaning all the texts of Chumash, not Nevi'im Ksuvim, but all the texts of Chumash, and some of the Torah Shebichtav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the basics of Torah Shebichtav, but there was plenty that was left open. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us Meirosh. Now, what are Kadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu? Three things, really. Torah Shebichtav, the text over the course of 40 years, the entire text of Chumash, and core ideas of Torah Shebichtav. And number three is not every single last detail of Torah Shebichtav, but how to derive the rest of Torah Shebichtav from the Chumash. And they gave him the tools with which the Yugam Mishra Torah Reshes Ben, Kavach Chumash, Zerah Shabbat, Kal Prop, and so on and so forth. The tools he's told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving you a text of Chumash, and I'm telling you in advance that there are many, many, many layers of meaning tucked away in this Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is omnipotent to do whatever he wants. I'm telling you in advance, I wrote this Chumash as multiple layers of meaning tucked away, and you're going to need to mine the Chumash, those nuggets of meaning that are there. And the tools, the drills that you're going to use to derive those, accurately derive those ideas, are the Yugam Yisra Kadosh Reshes Ben. So give them the Tanakh, give them the Chumash, give them the core Torah Shebichtav, and give them the tools to derive the rest. But not everything is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a very important point that Rambam is going to stress more later. There were Gaonim who thought that Moshe Rabbeinu at Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu every last detail. Every Tzois, every Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, every line in the Gemara, every line in Rajba, every Nesivah Shalom, every Nesivah Samishpat, everything. Hakol, Bakol, Miko, all taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. Everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way many Gaonim. The Rambam disagrees with that. They go, everything was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. There is a line in the Gemara that sounds like that. Hamashat Talmud Vasik Asa L'Chadesh Lefnei Rabo Parmit L'Moshe Mitzina. The Gemara does sound like everything that any worthy Talmud is going to be Mechai. Any good Chiddush in the future was already taught, already given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara would say, look, that means everything. That doesn't mean that they got the text of Talmud Bavli. Everyone knew, everyone had the script, everyone knew what they were supposed to say. But it means all the correct ideas were already taught. The Rambam says later, this is a little bit of a teaser, or spoiler, the Rambam says later, according to the Gaonim, that means everything was forgotten. Every time it's machlokas, it means people forgot. Moshe knew everything, the Dordain knew everything, the Tamim knew everything, and everything just, so much of Torah got forgotten. That's hard to imagine. And drushes are really just sort of what was the original point of drushes? You really got everything. So Rambam says, no. He says, they didn't get everything. I've got to go to Torah Moshe Rabbeinu Tar Torah Shluchsav, all the words and letters of Chumash. And I've got to go gave Moshe Rabbeinu the core ideas of Torah Shluchsav, the base, as he put it, the basic perish of every mitzvah. But the anafim, the branches, the additional details, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't teach all that to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. He didn't teach it to him directly. The Gemara does say Nitlo Moshe Mitzina. Yeah, that means that Moshe had it in potentia. Moshe, what we're saying is that Moshe was got the Chumash and the Perush, the Klalei HaPerush, and the tools, even the Midos, through which all future Chidushim are directly the product of what Moshe Rabbeinu got. That is where Rambam says one thing. Not that Rambam actually told Rambam this detail, but that every detail, correct detail, someone will come in the future, is rooted in everything that Moshe was taught. Not just making stuff up on our own, it's using the Yugal Midos that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu to use on the Chumash that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Perush that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. He wanted that was built in, says Rambam. I'm giving you the core, and then you're going to have to explore for the rest. But here's what you're going to explore. Here are the tools you use to explore. And you use these tools to explore, to discover the nuggets that I left there. So that's very, in terms of the question of what was Moshe taught out of Har Sinai over the course of 4 years, this is a major idea of the Rambam. And it interlocks with the other major issue going on here, which is where Machlokas come from. Because the Rambam, Machlokas is typically not a result of forgetting. As a matter of fact, he pointed out just now, it's a Gemara Yevamos and elsewhere. If you have a machlokas, if one person says, I have Masorah, Halacha Rosh Sinai, that's the end of Machlokas. Because if we know what Hashem told Moshe, that's the end of the story.
Machlokas
comes up, Rambam says, when we don't have any Masorot. There are nothing that we're never taught. So Machlokas is two people both coming to with a great competence and great hikiyas in the core corpus, the core material, the Chumash and the Perushim, the precedent of Perushim of Torah Shebaal Peh, and with the knowledge of how to use Yigamish HaTorah Darsh Tzvim, with the great Chachmas HaTorah, and with reference to the Yerushalayim, two people can look at the same everything and come to different conclusions. Torah is complex enough that one might, different people can legitimately come to different conclusions. Different conclusions in their attempts to figure out what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking when he gave this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you make your best attempt, I make my best attempt, and using the Torah of Saf, the Torah of Peh that we have, using the Torah of the rest of them, and with the Yerushalayim, they come to different conclusions. That is Rabbeinu's Machlokas. That's not the result of Shikha. No one forgot. That was built into the system. And that's why he closes by saying, how do you resolve this? What he said was the last line we just saw. The closing line was what? Was Rov. Why do you have to mention that? Because according to Rambam, Machlokas is built into this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the system to include Machlokas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to not teach the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, every last detail to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose instead to say, here's the core, and I'm giving you a short direction, and you're going to figure out the rest as it comes up. So built in is going to be Machlokas. And how do you resolve Machlokas? If there's a Ratzon Elyon Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in principle, in the abstract, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants us to do X. The emes of Torah is X. But he's not telling all of it to us. So then how are we going to... But that's not just an abstract emes. It's supposed to be something that we're supposed to put into practice. Supposed to do mitzvos. Not just know what the halach is. Supposed to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building a system where Meirosh, we're not going to know everything from the outset. We're going to have to work some things out. And the working out system, as Rambam says, built into the nature of it is that there's going to sometimes be machlokas, not always, but often. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a system where we need to do our best to figure out what the Ratzon Elyon and Shamayim is and do it, but we will be cases where we don't know for sure. This Talmud Chacham says X, that Talmud Chacham says Y. They're both giving their best attempt to figure out what's the MS and Shamayim, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to do? So what's a Jew to do? So how is the system supposed to work? But I'm supposed to actually do mitzvahs. I'm supposed to practice this. It's a question of learning. Do I sit in the sukkah like this or sit in the sukkah like that? Do I put on tefillin like this or put on tefillin like that? Do I give tzedakah? Do I prioritize my tzedakah giving this way or that way? Right? Am I allowed to say this about someone else or is it lashon hara? But what do you do? If you have a system where the emes and shamayim and I'm down here, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to act on it, but he built in that I'm not going to know everything and there will be machlokas. So there are really two solutions. The one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, the one HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not choose. The one HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose is Rov. There'll be machlokas, and there's going to be machlokas. And he's not going to, and we're going to have to figure out that, how are we supposed to know. So rule number one is you'll use Rov. The alternative could have been, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes knocking, or we go knocking on the divine door, and we say, we have a Shiloh. Right? And that's what Rambam is going to say, we're going to pick up Hashem next time. That's why he has a digression into the world of Nevuah. He says, one could have imagined, you don't know, but if you can't figure out, go ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what worked the first 40 years. That's what I told you before. The greatest transition of all the transitions in the history of Torah, the greatest transition was the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's probably why Rambam makes it so dramatic. He makes it, Shiva Ba'adar, the Chatzos Hayom. That was one of the key turning points in Jewish history. Because that was the end of ongoing revelation. That was the end of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us what the din is. It's like built into the end of Chumash Dvarim, Elo B'Hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Eila HaMitzvos, of the closing pasuk of Vayikra of Bamidbar, that the Gemara Megillah references. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Meirosh, for these 40 years, I'm telling you the dinim. You're getting ongoing stream of Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm telling Meirosh that's going to end with the death of Moshe. Moshe is the only one who's authorized to do this. I'm telling you, Meirosh, I don't plan to transmit Torah through any other Navi. So when Moshe dies, you're on your own. When Moshe dies, lo bashamayim, which is that's incredibly important in terms of how we relate to other religions. Christianity and Islam are both predicated on Moshe was emes, but someone supersedes him. That's a major point he's making right here. There's no superseding. There's no ongoing revelation. And instead, the method HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for how are we supposed to put halacha into practice, if it's built in, there's going to be machlokas, is that it's all going to be terrestrial. It's going to be chachmei Torah. It's going to be with rope. And that's an idea that he's going to pick up more later. And the next question is going to pick up with, which we'll pick up with next time, what is Nevuah for? So if Nevuah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Moshe is a unique Navi, he's the only one who's going to transmit Torah, so what's Nevuah for? Is Nevuah some sort of side point? Rambam says, no, Nevuah actually is incredibly important to understand what Nevuah is, and it's one of the basic ideas in Torah. We'll pick up with that in Mirtz Hashem next time. Okay.